Working Class Bowhunter Podcast starts in 3, 2, 1.
I think I left about 4:45.
No one honestly really cares. Steve's calling me while I'm holding, getting ready for this deer to stand up.
Glad you took this deer out. He doesn't even drive American. See, that deer's what's wrong with this country, right? He doesn't even support local American-made deer-compatible vehicles.
That one arrow cost me $33,000. Just aiming too long and just moved a little bit. And I was like, oh, no, it fired, you know, crap. I knew as soon as it left, it was just a little high.
But he came right out in the field, made a scrape right in the cornfield, started grunting, walked 30 yards, made another scrape.
You're listening to the Working Class Bowhunter. That's right. This is the podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T-Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Episode number 51 of your favorite hunting podcast that happens to be called Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. That's a lot of podcasts. From 1600 Buckslayer Place, right here in the Buckatorium, Girard, Illinois, population 643. Four of these young gentlemen are the face of the village, town of Girard. I don't even know what it is.
I don't know what it is, but
whatever you want to call it, town.
Kurt over here in the studio, as always.
Yep, Eric's here too.
Logan's missing. Imagine that. The guy's got to work.
It's because he's messed something up at work, so he had to go back and fix it.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, he goes, well, the guys that I was working with damaged something. I was like, yeah, that was you. We know it.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
He's like Lenny from Of Mice and Men. He touches stuff too hard.
Oh, yeah? Is that what happened? We're full of podcasts this week. We rolled out episode 50 yesterday. Check that out. We had Mark Reif on. Everything taxidermy. So that's always fun. Sponsors. We said on episode 50 that Smith's Custom Deer Processing was done taking deer, but they're actually taking boneless deer.
Boneless deer only till March 1st.
March 1st. So those guys do a great job. So
if you got yours chopped up already, you want something custom made,
take it in there.
Take it in before March 1st.
We're going to just get right into it here, right? I mean, unless Steve's got something dumb to say.
No, I just real quick, it's not dumb. We actually, there's a Whitetails Unlimited local chapter on here. They're called the Coldwater Creek Chapter, and they got a banquet coming up with T-Bone. He's going to be there. And I had some difficulty trying to get tickets, and I talked to Cindy, who's running the show there, and I just got to say, she was absolutely awesome. So, Cindy, thank you for helping me get through that. I know I can't work computers. But we want to introduce you to our guest. He's chomping at the bit to get on here. Are we still going?
We're good. I'm having some technical difficulty for some reason with my computer right now, and I don't know what the hell is going on. But on the show today, we have avid bow hunter and freelance writer Clint Casper, or if you follow him on Instagram, Casper Clint. What's going on, man? Thanks for being on.
We've got him on Clear Shot Archery Line 1, the clearest phone call in archery, Clear Shot Archery.
That makes sense. What's up, man?
How we doing, fellas?
I'm doing great. Steve's, I'll speak for him.
He's hungry, so we got to wait a little bit before he gets back in the...
That's good. I just finished up a workout running the Oregon Mountains with Cameron Haynes, so that was that was interesting.
Did that really happen?
Once I got him to put his purse down and keep up with me, and I told him, I said, hey, # keep hammering, nobody cares, work harder, all that hoopla. So finally, he bought into his own slogan, and then we got going. But no, realistically. Realistically, I got home from work, fed the dogs, did the normal routine, checked a few cameras. I was just waiting on this phone call to get on air with you boys.
Cool, man. Cool. Hey, perfect. Since you checked cameras, you got deer shedding antlers yet?
I'll tell you what. I got 4 target bucks I'm looking for, and those are the main 4 I want to grab sheds off of, and none of them have shed. But about every deer on the farms that they're on, I'm either seeing they've got one side that they've lost or they've already lost both. So this weekend, this weekend, I'm going to be at it hot and heavy. I'm going to put the Kenitrek boots to work, and we're going to go after some horns for sure this weekend.
Yeah, so I'm waiting to go shed hunting until probably into March. When Clint, when do you normally head out? And you're, this weekend you're going. I feel like that's early, or is it not?
I usually start in on what I'm seeing on cameras. And me personally, I think because this year's rut, it was so warm. Now you got this cold snap. And I think there's a lot of factors that go into these bucks shedding. And I mean, I think the stress from the rut, it being hot, then it was cold. Now you're getting a cold snap here in January. I just think that's causing a lot of these deer, just the weather change being so up and down. I think you're seeing a lot of these bucks shed. I had a buddy go out last weekend. He found 5 in about 6 hours.
Whoa.
So, I mean, he had a real good day. And he was hunting all public ground, no crop fields, just woods. So, I mean, he had a super day.
Man, I need to get out there because I just got timber too. So, I mean, a couple more weeks, I'm gonna start looking then.
Right. I usually never am out this early. But since I'm seeing so many bucks shed, I'm going to go ahead and start in and walk a couple farms that are, you know, fairly easy to get on and get in and get out.
Yeah.
And it's gotten pretty cold here in Ohio, so pretty much everything's frozen. So you can pretty much get around everywhere. I don't have to worry about cutting up tracks, getting into fields and whatnot, you know, parking the truck and whatnot. So I'm going to take advantage of that. I'm sure we'll get another warm spell here before long, and that'll probably shut things down a little bit. But
cool. Where are you at in Ohio? So was that what you were going to ask?
No, I was going to ask if you know where Ontario, Ohio was.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
Ontario, you know, I've heard of that. I can't pinpoint exactly where that's at, but I have heard of that. I'm in Northeast. I'm about like 20 minutes south of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's in Canton. I'm probably 2 hours, 2.5 hours away at the most from Ohio State University. So I'm kind of I'm about in the middle of the state, but more towards the northeast side.
Gotcha. You're not far from where Tom Miranda grew up in that area?
He wasn't far from here, yeah. He was about an hour or so away. He wasn't too far from here, yeah. He did a lot of his first original trapping videos and whatnot came from in around this region, and then he started in with, you know, the white tails, and it just kind of grew from there. But yeah, he did quite a bit of trapping. He did a lot of trapping in Ohio, starting off just cutting his teeth and whatnot.
So you're a freelance writer. So you're a writer, so we should probably hire you on to write our descriptions for every episode we do, because
it would help. We're not good at it.
We're not good at writing. Describe
what that is. I mean, yeah. What do you do? Give us a rundown.
Basically, you got two different writers. You're going to have guys in this industry, which what I call the industry is I'm mainly focused on the bow hunting side of the hunting industry. You got guys that are writing specifically for a magazine, whether it be Bow Hunter, Bow and Arrow Hunting, and then you got guys that freelance. Freelance, basically, I'm going to write for you if you need one. I might write for him if he needs one. What I do is I send articles out, different magazines. I'm on a couple different websites, averageoutdoorsman.com. Basically, I'm starting off as I will take whoever needs material. It may be somebody calls me and says, hey, we're looking for a late season whitetail article.
Mm-hmm.
Can you put together one? Okay, I'm going to send you that. The next one, someone on Average Outdoors might say, hey, it's almost turkey season right around the corner. Can you put together an out-of-state public turkey hunting article, giving your tips on, you know, where to find good public ground, how to go about hunting it, you know, that kind of deal. So then basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to fit my article to what these guys want. Now,
okay.
A lot of guys start out doing this just to get their foot in the door. Hardest thing to do is to crack that first big magazine deal where somebody says, okay, you know what, you wrote an article or two for us, tell you what, we want you to write solely for us. Every issue, you're going to send in one or two articles for us to put in the magazine. Now you're basically full-time. You're writing for Bow Hunter. You're writing for Outdoor Life. You're writing for Deer and Deer Hunting, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate. For me, I think that's the direction I want to go, but I'll be honest. I kind of like the freelance thing just because I can kind of do whatever. I mean, you know, yeah. if you guys call me up and say, hey, we're putting together, you know, this deal online. We need a couple stories. Write us up something. I'm under no contract. I can write you guys one and then turn around and write one for Outdoor Life and then turn around and write one for Bow Hunter or whatever it may be, and no one can get mad. I'm just freelance. You know, that's where the freelance comes into the whole equation is I'm kind of just on my own, doing my own thing. Whoever needs me, hey, I'm here for you. And that's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah, you kind of get that flexibility where you can just do whatever you want, and it's probably more fun that way. I would think.
I like it just because it gives you flexibility, and I mean you're not locked into one magazine or one internet source, or you know you kind of got because I mean there's right now in the industry there's not a lot of young faces. A lot of your writers are older and. They're starting to recycle articles. And So a lot of these magazines, you know, they want to get a new face, something different, just because, you know, for example, like Bow Hunter, you know, you've got a lot of guys that have been doing this for 25, 30, 35 years that write. And, I mean, they've got great stories, great articles, but... they're getting a little bit older. They're not traveling quite as much. So now you're starting to recycle kind of some stuff they wrote in the very beginning of their career or towards the middle of their career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what you start to see is you start to see, for example, rub lines. You know, I grew up reading Greg Miller. He was a big rub line freak. I mean, that guy was constantly writing about rub lines. And he was writing good stuff about them. Well, there's only so much you can write about rub lines, and there's only so many different angles you can go on it. So, you know, after a while, you're hoping to get someone new in there to kind of have some new ideas or some new theories, and that's kind of right now where the industry's at, is the younger guys, you know, that are in their 20s or early 30s that are just kind of starting out. I'm always telling people, you know, hey, everybody wants to be on camera and video hunts and film hunts. I'm telling you, writing is where it's at because everybody and their brother films, hunts.
Yep.
And you know, I'll be honest, I did that for 5 or 6 years. You know, I was in that game, and it's not a bad game to be in, but everybody and their brother does that. Hardly anybody wants to write. You know, everybody wants to film. Nobody wants to write. And that's kind of where I said, you know what? I kind of like this writing thing. I'm on my own. You know, if I sink, I sink. If I swim, I swim. It's kind of, it's on me. I'm not relying on a team or anybody else. I'm just kind of doing my own thing, right. Having fun while I'm doing it. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Well, Clint, I have an idea. We'll do a working class bow hunter podcast magazine, and then you can just be the only writer in the whole damn thing.
we can't pay.
I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, I could sit down, and I'll just start in writing. I mean, you guys are going to probably have to supply some type of keg, whether it's, I mean, and hey, I'm cheap. I'm a cheap date. I mean,
a hot dog and a bush light.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, bush light. I mean, I'm a cheap date. I mean, you know, you guys don't need to buy Sam Adams Boston Lager, a whole keg of that for me. I mean, you know, hey.
We can shoot low.
Yeah, he's cheap, but he ain't free.
I mean, you know, I'll gladly take your $57 keg of Bush Light, and I'll sit down and just start in writing, and I got pictures, all kinds of stuff. I mean, hey, I'd be a happy little camper.
It starts out, the magazine would start out really good, and then by like the last 3 or 4 pages, it's just fumbled, jumbled.
Yeah, it's like sad Facebook statuses. He's drunk again. Yeah. Why is he screenshotting his Facebook posts?
I figure once it gets to the very end, I mean, I'll just start in with slogans. I'll just, you know, I mean, I can throw Chris Brackett hashtag booyah in there. I can throw, I mean, I'll just start in with you know, stealing everybody else's stuff. I mean, it is what it is. But the very beginning will be real good. And the middle is going to be pretty good. Towards the end, it's liable to be a little on the sloppy side, but I mean, hey.
It just,
you know,
drops off from
there. Right. I mean, realistically, how many people read clear to the end anyway? I mean, let's be honest. It pictures the first page or two, and then it's like, whatever. So.
Yeah, guys, who reads, right? Right?
I can't even.
I mean,
hardly write my own name.
And that's the thing is, you know, pictures are everything. I mean, that's, everybody always gets on me about, I got a couple buddies I hunt with pretty regularly, and I'm always telling them, hey, you know, now I'm going to turn this deer, elk, whatever it may be, I'm going to turn it this way, and I want you to get down on the ground and look up and do this. And then they're always getting on me, you know, I'm not a full-time photographer, I don't know what you're talking about, so I'll have to show them what I want, but they don't understand. Most people that read these magazines, they're going to read about 10%, and they're going to look at your pictures. So your pictures better be good.
That's true.
I mean, you better have good pictures. And that's just, you know, that's the other part of this that I've had to kind of learn myself is you kind of got to be pretty fluent with, you know, some type of camera. I'm running right now all Sony stuff. I just got a new Sony mirrorless camera, and I've been messing with it now this whole year. I actually got it right before my mountain lion hunt last year, and I've used whole last year, and it's worked out really good. I mean, really well. But I'll tell you what, when I first got it, I mean, it was like Japanese. It was like me trying to read something in Japan. I mean, it was.
Is it a DSLR? You
know, oh, yeah. And it's.
That's a big learning curve, having to use those cameras the correct way.
Oh, yeah.
My biggest thing was, you know, everybody and their brother can take a selfie. But when I tell you, hey, I want you to capture me in the center of the frame with the background behind me.
Yeah.
They look at me, you know, they look at you like you're retarded. And I'm like, well, now, you know, I'm like, just pretend, you know, pretend this is a selfie. Center yourself. Center me in the, you know, I mean, it's funny. My dad, he still has a flip phone. So you can imagine, what his technical capabilities are.
Yeah.
I have him, usually, anytime I kill a buck, he's the first person I call. He's the first one there. So the buck I killed this year, I called him. I said, hey. And then the last couple of years, we've been working on this photography thing. So he's starting to kind of get the hang of it. And he really impressed me this year. He got up to me, and, you know, we high-fived and did all the celebrating and whatnot. And I said, okay. I said, let's snap some pictures. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, you know, you take him up there on that little hill, and we'll have the sky behind us and blah, blah. I looked at him, and I said, wow. I said, you know, I said, you've come a long way. Because the very first couple pictures he ever took of a buck I killed probably 5 years ago, he had his finger over the lens.
Oh no!
And he couldn't figure out why the camera was just taking these tan colored blank photos.
So did he upgrade? Does he now have a? Does he now have that cell phone, that flip phone, on a belt clip?
Oh no!
Oh, I hope so.
Oh yeah! He's got a
hashtag dad life.
Yeah. Well, he's got a Carhartt actually makes this Realtree camouflage flip phone case thing.
Oh, and, I know, I mean, what thing that is. Yeah.
Oh, he thought he was super cool carrying this around. And I'm like, Dad, I'm like, out of 100 people if we surveyed right now, you'd be the only one with a flip phone. I'm like, it's, you know, I'm like,
it's funny. I have a buddy who's my, like, our age, we're all mid-20s, he still has a flip phone. So, like, whenever he's, like, texting me, like, you know, he'll just like say, "Are you hunting?" And he has to type R, the letter R.
Because he's clicking that button six times.
He's 12 times. Yeah, to get the R.
Oh, yeah. Well, my dad, he just started texting. This is probably maybe a year ago. And then, you know, a lot of these hunts that I've been on the last couple of years, they're in different states and Canada and out west, whatever. And, he, you know, I told him, I said, "Now, you're not going to be able to probably call me, but you may be able to text me, and I'll be able to get some texts periodically." You know, and he's like, "Well, I'm not really that good texting, but whatever, you know." So I'll never forget, I was on my lion hunt last year, and it was in February. I was out in New Mexico and got to the top of this mountain. On that hunt, it was pretty much you're riding mules, more so than mules, and you're following the dogs. You got about 15 dogs, and you're pretty much following them all day. We got to the top of this mountain, and we all took a break. The dogs are kind of tired. We were tired, but I took a break. And my phone starts going crazy. I'm getting all these texts, you know?
Right at the top of the mountain.
Right. So I flip it open, and it says, "Dad, you know, like 9 texts." And I'm like, now, so I'm kind of nervous because I'm thinking, man, did something happen? You know, I open it up, and he didn't really grasp the texting thing because his texts were, "Hey, send, how, send, R, send." You know, okay, you're picking up now. Okay, so
he's got the idea.
He got the idea, but he didn't understand. You could kind of just put it all together. So,
hey, in order to build a Ferrari, you got to start with the wheels, man.
I texted him back. I texted him back and told him. I said, "Hey, man," I said, "you know, look, we can text all this in just one thing and then hit send, you know," and then that opened up a whole other realm for him.
You got 3 pages of stuff after that.
You get a body and a pair, three body paragraphs.
The cover page and...
Yeah, he's not so bad. He's not so bad. My mom, she's the one. You can't, you can't even, you know, when I go away on these trips, I mean, I just cringe when I see that she's texting me because I know it's going to be 9 pages and, "Hey, did you pack Neosporin in case you cut your finger off?" And, you know, "Are you okay? Have you seen any bears, wolves, bobcats, anything that could potentially kill you?" I mean, you know how that goes.
Send forward. You get the ones that are like forward, 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 you know.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget to
make sure.
Let me bring this episode to a halt. And because I'm tired of talking about texting, I want to talk about the mountain lion. I want to talk about this gigantic picture of this elk that you have.
We're talking about dad's texting. You want to talk about mountain lions?
Clint, you got trapped in the realm of Steve there for a minute. So let's talk, since you kind of got through a little bit of that story of their mountain lion, I want to know about that. And then I want to circle back around and we'll talk. I want to get back into the writing and stuff. And then we're going to hit you with the old classic rapid fire.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us more about this mountain lion hunt, man, because we're from Illinois. I mean, you're from Ohio, but, you know, the Midwest people don't get to do that stuff really ever. Take it away.
I mean, to be honest, this all starts with last year, and it's kind of a funny story, but everybody kind of here in the hometown knows that, you know, I've kind of always had a dream and wanted to do something in the industry, whether it was film and writing. I just always kind of had a knack for wanting to do something in the outdoor industry. So I kind of got away from filming and got into writing, and I was kind of looking for a hunt that was going to kind of separate me a little bit from the rest of the crowd, and I had been kind of going back and forth on some different stuff. Thought about doing British Columbia mountain goat hunt. Thought about maybe doing Yukon moose hunt. You know, I'm kind of throwing some ideas around. One night, I'm sitting at a bar, and stopped in to shoot a couple games of pool. I'm avid pool players. I stop in, and I get talking to this guy. And this is probably, oh, I don't know, December, January maybe of like, well, it would have been like the end of 2014, right around there. So, yeah, it's probably like in December. And start talking to this guy, you know, and we were talking about hunting and stuff, and he brought up outline hunting. And he told me he knew a guy that went out with a rifle and killed one, you know. And I said, oh, well, I said, you know, I don't want to kill one with a rifle. I said, that would just be, you know, I'd want to do it with a bow.
It's cheating.
Yeah.
Well, it's cheating.
I know. I know.
He told me, he said, look, he said, you're not going to kill one with a bow. So, and I'm the type of guy where, and I get this from my dad, I'm pretty bullheaded. I mean, if I tell you the sky's green and you say, no, that's blue, no, it's green. It's green because it's green.
I'm the same way. If someone tells me I can't do it, I'm gonna make a point to do it.
Yeah. Well, that too. And did this guy, since he said you can't kill one with a bow, did he mean like? Was he ignorant to like how powerful bows really are, or did he was just saying like you'll never get up to one?
His thing was his buddy had to hunt so hard. Finally got one in a tree, and it kept jumping out of the tree, which they do very often. And he kept saying, you know, he had a 2-second chance at 80 yards to shoot this thing out of the tree before it jumped. So I left that, before I left that bar, I told that guy, I'm not going to mention his name. He knows who he is because he's the first one I sent a picture to when I killed my lion. But I told him, I said, you know what, buddy? I said, I'm going to shake your hand. I said, I'm going to buy you a beer before I leave. I said, because you, my friend, just made my mind up. And he goes, what's that? I said, my next hunt going to be mountain lion hunt with my bow. And I said, when I kill one, I'll make sure you get the picture first. Well, he told me, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, good luck. You're going to need it. I said, all right. And that's kind of how it all began. And I actually had another buddy who's a bricklayer, and I'll be honest, I mean he's a badass. I mean he's a big time hunter, big time bow hunter, and he's always kind of wanted to do this mountain lion deal. I told him, I said, let's go to New Mexico, let's go do it.
Yeah.
He said, all right. He said, I'm all in. So we went out there, and I'll just make it short and sweet. After day one, I literally wanted to drive back home, crawl in my bed, and never hunt a lion again.
It was that bad, huh?
I mean, I cut my head open on this freaking juniper limb that I thought I could break, and I kind of, you know, I played football as a linebacker, so I figured I could just forearm blast. I could just forearm blast this limb. Yeah, no, not really. I mean, I blasted it, but it snapped right back. It took me off the horse. I split my head open about the second hour into this ordeal. Now, mind you, this entire trip, just imagine the nastiest, thickest mountains you can find, and you're going to go straight up and straight down on a mule. You're going to follow these dogs. You're going to ride about 25 to 30 miles a day, about 9 to 10 hours on average. You're going to pop probably half a bottle of Tylenol throughout the day. When you get home at night, you're going to feel like you just played 4 football games and lost every one of them. Bad. Like, you never even got close to winning them. So, realistically, after the first day, I thought, wow. You know, I mean, I've been bear hunting. I do a lot of public land hunting. I mean, I know, you know, it's hard. It's hard, you know, but
yeah. Literally,
this was the most physically, I mean, when I say physically demanding, I mean like getting just beat up by briars, limbs, branches. The scariest part of the whole hunt was when my guide would say, okay, we're going to lead the horses and mules up or down a rock chute. And basically what that meant was, if you're going up, you would stick the reins of the saddle, you'd stick the reins in the back of your pants, and you'd take off running as fast as you could go, hoping that as the horse or mule you know, gallop behind you. You didn't step on your ankle or your arm or pretty much hit the Dover. And then on the way down, you hope that you didn't slip and fall and tumble your way down 100 feet to your death. So realistically, the scariest part was when you got off the newer horse, because then you knew you were really in trouble. But
you should have got behind the mule and like you were skiing.
Yeah.
So it kicks you.
Yeah.
Then you grabbed the legs and guided down.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was one of those things where it was like, you know, after a couple of days, I just told myself, you know, this is so terrible that it's almost fun, and I'm not going to leave this state till I kill one. Just because I'm so miserable, I have to have excitement and enjoyment out of this hunt somewhere. So, and the only way that was going to happen was for me to kill one. So, long story short, after 5 days, what was, I think it was 137 miles on horseback, according to the GPS. We finally got one tracked down. We tracked him for 2 days, and they can cover 50, 60 miles in a day.
Easily, yeah.
You know, their home range is huge. I mean, it's huge. So finally we got him tracked down, and I ended up shooting him about 8 feet straight above me. So, I mean, it was...
8 feet?
I could have probably almost spit bubble gum on him, straight up. The only negative to the whole deal was, you know, my guide told me, he said, can you please make sure you make a good shot? Because if he comes out of there alive and healthy, he's going to pretty much be in our lap, and I really don't want a 160-pound Tom right in our lap. So, I mean, you know, there was that amount of pressure for sure, but, I mean, it was probably one of the greatest feelings I'll probably ever experience, just because I worked so hard, and it was such a demanding hunt. I mean, I had bruised ribs when it was all said and done, cut my head open, twisted my ankle. I mean, it was just one of those hunts where you left and you were like, thank God, it's over.
But you were glad you had the experience, though, I bet.
Oh, yes. Yes.
How'd that big kitty taste?
Well, the loins are the only part that you're really going to even eat. Everything else... everything else is pretty much, you know, junk. I mean, they have so much muscle to them.
It's probably so lean that it's just... It's
so tough.
Right.
Basically, you just probably, my guess is...
Chewing through leather.
Make jerky. And it's like, I'll never forget Steve Rinella said when everyone gave that Dennis shit about shooting that lion. He's like, you know, the guy didn't eat it, and I think that was the issue. He's like, if I was that guy, I would have brought it home and made pepperoni sticks out of it and gave it to all my friends.
Oh.
So, yeah, I would like to say, you know, I had mountain lion jerky or something. But I got two questions for you, Clint. One, did you mount that? Did you mount the mountain lion?
Oh, yeah. Full body mount. My neighbor is actually... my full-time taxidermist. He's been doing it for, I think, 17 years now. So he does pretty much everything for me. And he's 200 yards away from me right now, right down the street. Does all my work for me.
Awesome,
and
man.
He told me, he said, if you do kill one, he said, you got a full-body mount. He said that, you know, they come out beautiful. And it definitely was something I already had planned on full-body mounting for sure.
Did you also get the skull mounted, too?
Yeah. Yep.
And then one other, did you enter it in the Pope and Young record book?
I still have to get that entered, but
I'm your guy. I haven't measured I've measured a mountain lion before, but I've never entered one. So if you want it done, we'll have to get together and I'll measure it for you.
Perfect.
We'll have to meet in the middle in Indiana.
Yeah, well, I'll meet you in Indianapolis and we'll call it good.
Hey, ATA
yeah.
show.
Hey, we can call it square in Indy.
Hey, if we make it out to ATA next year, and if you're going to be there, we'll do it there at a hotel or something.
Absolutely, we can do that.
Go ahead, Steve. Yeah, that was last year. We want to talk about this year. You seem to be having an exciting year on all fronts. You know, one of the most exciting is probably it looks like you got your second kid on the way.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, there you go. I mean, that's pretty cool. But the most cool thing is this. It's this big old giant. It's this gorgeous, gorgeous creature. Which I saw two of them today.
You saw two what?
I saw two elk today.
Out in Geneseo?
Yeah, I did.
Geneseo, Illinois has an elk farm, so Steve's not saying he saw wild elk in Illinois. Cause, I mean, that's something Steve would probably
he's starting
say.
That rumor.
Yeah.
Yeah, so every time I go hunting, if I drive that way, hey, what'd you see? Man, I didn't nothing, a couple elk.
I wish you guys had elk running around over there, because I'd be over in Illinois all the time.
Can you imagine how big elk would be in Illinois?
Oh, my God. Illinois or Iowa?
With all the corn, farmers would hate that.
They would hate elk.
It would be, they would just be on a, there'd be no corn left. What do you need, Steve?
Absolutely.
Oh, no. Clint, real quick before we forget, since you're an avid bow hunter and you go on all these trips and stuff like that, is there any companies
Lucky.
That are sponsoring you, like, to use you as promotional purposes? Like, check it out, this thing killed a mountain lion. So, you got this any thing? Sponsors or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of the work closely. I've been with Scentlock for about 8 years. Do a lot of work with them. They've been great to work for. I mean, they were kind of the first big company that actually picked me up and kind of said, okay, you show us, kind of what you can do, and we'll kind of, go from there. And it just ended up being a great relationship. I mean, all the men and women there, great to work for. Talk to them all the time. I mean, it's a friendship more than just a business ordeal.
Cool.
So it worked out great. Just kind of got in with Vortex Optics. Been doing a lot of work, running their spotting scopes, range finders, binoculars, all that stuff. Great stuff. For the money, I don't think you can beat them as far as glass and everything goes. I mean, they're great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can put them up against. I've had them side by side with any big name you want to throw out there, and I mean they are right up there with everybody. Great warranty, great company. Clear Shot Archery, done a lot of work with them, Carl and all the guys there.
Yep.
I mean they run a first class business. I know you guys already know all about them as far as feet stuff. I mean, everybody kind of overlooks that piece of equipment, but that's not the fourth that they get. I mean,
hey, it's that first thing in your on your bow that mm-hmm. you're looking through. I mean,
yep.
Literally, that's
you can't beat that peep. I mean,
you can't kill a mountain right. lion if you're not. I mean, you could, but it really helps if you're looking through a peep.
Yep,
that is true.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you have more, go ahead and list them off, and then we're gonna hit. I'm gonna hit you with some rapid fire questions here.
Gotcha.
So rapid fire questions. I don't know if you've heard. It's basically quick questions. They can be one answer, and that's completely fine if you want to elaborate a little. But they're pretty much quick question, quick answer. It's supposed to make you think real fast. So I'm just gonna.
Gotcha.
I got a list here. I'll rattle them through. If you got to elaborate on an answer, go ahead and do it. Favorite camo.
Real tree all the way.
All right. All right.
Pretty straightforward.
Favorite outdoor magazine.
I'm going to have to go with Hunt and Fool just because of all the information you can gain public land-wise, whatnot. I mean, I just don't think you could beat that magazine for that purpose. That's probably my favorite right now.
I imagine that's on your goals to get an article in Hunting Fool, then, right? Hunt and Fool.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that'd be great. Great for them, for sure.
Favorite bow brand?
Matthews, all the way. I think I've owned... Yeah, my girlfriend bought me a brand new Halon for Christmas. I think that'll be the 9th or 10th one I've owned.
Really?
What a nice lady.
I know. Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Nice
oh.
lady, right.
Ninth or tenth bow. I thought you said 9th or 10th girlfriend you've owned. I was like, man, that's cool. This guy's awesome. he's had a couple girlfriends. That's pretty cool.
Second favorite bow brand. We always ask this because we know how people feel about the first favorite. What's the second pick?
I'd have to go probably with Fred Bear.
Nice.
I've had a couple bows from them way back in the day. I shoot every bow company's newest bows every year. I'm just a junkie like that. I like trying everything. I like seeing who's got what's out there. I'd go with them second for sure. They shoot good for me. I like the way they feel. They kind of almost remind me of a Matthews in a lot of different ways.
Cool. Okay. Backstrap or jerky?
all backstrap all the way. On the grill, charcoal, while I'm drinking a Busch Light.
Mm-hmm. a Busch Latte?
Busch Lattes.
Busch Latte, I like that.
Favorite outdoor-related show?
I'm going to have to go with Major League Bowhunter. I'm a real good friend of Jeff Danker and Chipper Jones, all them guys. And even before I got to be pretty good friends with them, I just like their show. They are more about teaching and letting the viewer learn their ways than just showing off a hunt that someone killed a 170-inch deer. I mean, realistically, a lot of your shows nowadays, they're not realistic to the normal guy like me and you, because how many farms do we have at 2,000 acres with 10 170s running around? I mean, I've got, I lease, own, or hunt probably 15 farms, and I'm lucky if I have a couple of deer that are going to go over 160, 170, and that's every farm combined, a couple thousand acres. I'm lucky if I got a couple, let alone a couple on each farm. So I'm a big fan of that show. I think you can gain and take a lot away from it. Definitely. Big explorer, Major League Bow Hunter.
And if you guys haven't followed Chipper Jones on Twitter, it is hilarious, and I highly suggest it.
I've heard that. I've heard his tweets are pretty outrageous.
This should be an easy one. What's your favorite podcast?
Boom.
I mean, Working Class Bow Hunter for sure. I mean, I didn't even know there was another podcast out there.
Nice answer.
Good answer. That's still a good answer.
This guy's cool. He's had a couple girlfriends. He listens to us. This guy's cool.
All right, Clint, this one's really gonna test you. Who's your favorite podcast host?
Podcast. I mean, I'm about to go with Steve, I think.
Oh,
I mean, he's a man.
I told you this guy's cool.
Man, what the hell? All right, well, that's going to do it for episode 51.
Yeah. No, keep going.
Never having you on again.
I got to adjust my hat. My head's getting so big.
Well, it's swelling up inside that bone collector hat.
I mean, you know, we're going to have to do a second show, because for all the young bucks out there listening, tuning in, I mean, I've got relationship advice. I mean, I'm going to let them know how to lay down just the right amount of scrapes to attract their does into their thicket, and then I'm going to tell them how to mark enough rub lines to keep other intruder bucks out of that thicket and not go to jail. I mean, nobody wants to do that.
He's talking about tattoos and cologne.
I like
that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything relates back to deer. I mean, relationship, life, it all relates back to deer. I can relate it to deer or turkeys, whatever your style is.
I like that.
I used to do a joke on stage. I do stand up occasionally, and I used to do this joke where it's like, you know, deer are like the only, you know, critter, like, you know, when you're hunting, it's the only time where you could use like ladies' pee to like call them in. You know, you're not gonna try and pick up like a chick at a bar, and then you're just gonna throw a glass of lady pee in the corner and let them all go fight, and then you're, you know, free game, because they're all like, I smell lady pee. It's time to go. I gotta do something.
Lady pee.
You know what I mean?
All right,
this guy gets it.
Back to the questions. Morning or afternoon hunts? This is always a tough question sometimes.
Well, I'm going to go with afternoon hunts, and only because early season and late season, I feel like afternoons, you've got a better shot.
Very good point. Very good point.
And for me, it depends. Sometimes I get lucky and score early. In Ohio, you got one buck tag. But sometimes I do get lucky and I score early. A lot of times it's later on, after the rut or even during the rut. And for me, there's lots of years where I got to hunt. So, you know, like, I didn't kill this buck until into December. So you got to hunt all three phases. And overall, in my opinion, late afternoon in the evening is where it's at. You know, your late season's hard to get in and hunt the mornings. You're trying to beat them back to bed. Early season, it's just so hot, muggy, and with the, I'm a big wind freak, thermals and whatnot. Mornings are just rough. So for me, I'm going to go evening all the way.
I think when I got to ask that question on the podcast, I said morning hunts because I just crave those November mornings so much.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. Frosty November morning, yep, you can't beat.
Exactly.
You just can't.
But the point you just made is a really strong argument against mine because you really get to hunt more good afternoons than you get to hunt good mornings.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Right.
For sure.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Yeah, okay. Hang on or ladder stands?
I'm a big hang on junkie. I'm working right now. I'm real good friends with Adam Hayes, Team 200 Inch TV, and I'm doing a little work for them. I'm trying to weasel my way in with the Lone Wolf boys. I got lot of Lone Wolf sticks. I got a lot of Lone Wolf. I got their hand climber. I got their Alpha Sit and Climb. I got a bunch of their lock-ons. I'm a huge lock-on fan. I do a lot of climbing, but if I'm going to pick one overall, I'm going to go lock-ons all the way. I just like that. I like being mobile and being able to rip a set down in 5 minutes and put it back up. And the sticks and a hang-on, it's hard to beat, in my opinion.
I love Lone Wolf, man. That's
all I use is Lone Wolf.
They're awesome. One is a tough question, depending on who you are.
I think it's the toughest question we have.
This could be the toughest question on the list. Beer or liqueur?
All right, repeat that one more time.
I was thinking.
Beer or liquor?
Beer or liquor? I'm going beer all day.
All right. Bush lattes, hashtag Bush lattes.
Yep, all day.
What? I mean.
No, he actually is saying he's drank all day before he got on here.
This is going to be a fun question for you because you've got a lot of experience. What's your dream hunt?
Dream hunt? Hands down, 70-inch Alaskan bull moose. I'm going to shoot him at about 32 yards with my Matthews. He's going to run down a river and die right in the stream. That's how it's going to happen. That's where it's at.
Nice. I'm on the same page right there. And then this one, let's hope your old lady doesn't listen to this episode. Eva Shockey or Tiffany Lukowski?
Eva Shockey or Tiffany Lukowski? I'll tell you what. Well,
are we bad for asking this question on our show every episode?
last year at the ATA show, I was talking to Lee and Tiff, and I got to know them pretty well just from being around and whatnot. And I told Lee, I said, hey, look, I said, let's not get in a fist fight here. I said, now, we know this baby is either yours or mine. But here's the thing.
Oh, no.
I said, if it's mine, I will share hunting rights with you on your farms. I will let you hunt half the time. But when you're babysitting, I'm going to hunt as well. He told me, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, if it comes out and he goes looking like you, he said, I'm just going to quit what I do, jump in a van, and head for a river. I said, that's a little harsh, but I said, I applaud you for your, you know, being honest. But, no, I'm going to have to go Eva Shockey. I'm going Eva Shockey. I'm going UA Hunt Girl. I'm going to go Eva Shockey. Lee's got Tiffany. I mean, I just think Clint and Eva sound good. I mean, I think it sounds good.
It's got a good ring to it.
If you guys opened up a pizza joint, I'd eat there.
Well, you know, I mean,
you'd eat anywhere.
You know, I mean, Clint and Eva Casper, I think it sounds good.
You know, Clint, my choice would be that you mentioned the UA Hunt Girls. Mine actually would be the UA Hunt Girls. You know,
like all of them,
the whole
put together.
Group. Yeah, I would
Oh yeah.
You know, just. You know, I would be their daddy. You know, I'd just be their sugar daddy. They could just...
You'd be their sugar daddy. Yeah.
I think it'd be the other way around, wouldn't it?
Just come on, for the show's sake, just play with me here.
Well, see, there you go. You can't go wrong.
It'd be like at the end of Dumb and Dumber. It's like, do you boys need... We're going to town or whatever.
We need a couple oil boys.
Yeah, ladies, the town is that way. Do you realize what you just did? The town's that way.
Where are we at? What's next? Are you got articles you're working on? What's your future goals for writing?
Yeah, I mean, just right now I'm just trying to work on some more articles. I got quite a few I want to send out, and you know, pretty much just kind of trying to crack that first big one in either bow hunter, bow and arrow hunting. I mean, whoever's, you know, you're basically just sending them out, and once you get the first one kind of in, the door opens up. You know, you're going to kind of get your foot in the door, your feet wet, however you want to say it. From there, then you kind of got a little bit of an option as to, okay, hey, on your resume, you can say, hey, I wrote for this, you know, this major magazine or whatever. So basically, I'm just kind of working on that right now. Mm-hmm. Once that happens, I'm just going to go with it to see what happens. I mean, it's hard to tell where things are going to go. 3, 4, 5 years ago from, you know, right now, I never would have thought I'd be, you know, right now on podcast with you guys. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I just kind of roll with it, and I'm having fun doing it, and...
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, everybody reaches their lowest point in their life when they're on a podcast with us. I mean, you know, it's...
well, what we'll do is we'll put this episode up, and we'll share it to Hunt and Fool. We'll share it to Bow Hunter. We'll share it to all the outdoor life. We'll share it to everyone, you know. You know, obviously someone could listen to this and see that you're down to earth, and you're just like, you know, every other person that's got a deep passion for hunting, and you obviously have the experience for writing, so.
We'll start a petition, and we'll tell Hunt and Fool, if they don't accept your magazine, we'll leak nudes of me.
No.
You will be the only one to have an article on the cover of the magazine at that point.
That's right. I'll just tell them, hey, every week, just take a picture of me, put it on there, and you're going to sell them. It is what it is.
For sure. Well, I mean, that's really about going to wrap up our time here. It's going to be an easy podcast to do a part two. So
absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. You guys just let me know when you're ready, and hey, I'm ready.
We might have to do a third shift series with you.
Oh, yeah, we could do a third shift series. We still have yet to do a third shift series episode. Timing's got to be right. The stars got to align. But we'll get you back on for sure.
The alcohol has to flow into the... Yeah. Pancreas, is that where it goes first?
Yeah, who even cares, right? We'll get you back on for sure. We'll circle back around, have you back on before hunting season. Absolutely. Stick around on the phone. Thanks for listening, guys. We're clear past 50 episodes right now. 51. Well, I mean, can you believe it?
Clear past that. I mean, we're leaving 50 in our dust.
We're
man.
A clear shot right past 50 episodes.
We've kicked our shoes off. Our stinky feet are up on the recliner, man. We're just cruising now.
Like we've been saying for the last few episodes, we got things in the works. It'll happen. Things take time. I don't really like seeing these guys once a week, but, you know, I do what I have to for the podcast. But
I've seen you 4 times this week.
Yeah. We've been cranking them out. We did do, if you guys listened a couple episodes ago, we uploaded a Stevie Mo Files where we turned Steve, the host, into a guest. So you can kind of see
what he's all about. What his character is.
My Kurt Geyer Files will be up next week. Erickson Logan's are next. So we got a lot of things in store. We're just slowly working on things and knocking them out one by one. So we want to thank Clint for being on the show. Check him out at Casper Clint on Instagram.
There you go. Yeah,
WorkingClassBowHunter.com. We should say that at the beginning of every episode, and we don't.
Thanks for listening, guys.
So tune in next week. We'll have some more up for you. You know what to do. Hunting season's over. Get to practicing. Go shoot your bow. Later.